The following message by Reverend Sandy Corrine was recorded at the Revival Center in Clovis, California.
Praise God for all of you. Thank you for coming. I'm going to share a note by our beloved David Wilkerson. He said this: when we praise the Lord and do not spend time praying to him, he is made a stranger to us. We praise a Christ at that point to whom many of us will not pray to. Some of us have become a praising people, but not a praying people. For many of God's people, the prayer closet is a relic of the past. Why ask God for what he has already promised, they say. Just get a hold of the promises. Simply command deliverances. We no longer want Christ as much as we want what he can do for us. Although this is true, get a hold of the promises, command deliverances, and that is we as full gospel Christians, how we must live. But the truth is, prayer is more than that. We want an escape from pain and suffering. We want our troubles to vanish. And we are so caught up in our escape from pain that we tend to lose the true meaning of the cross. We refuse crosses and losses. No Gethsemane for us. No nights of agony for us. We often do not know this suffering, bleeding, resurrected Christ. And David Wilkerson continues. We want his healing power. We want his promises of prosperity. We want his protection. We want more of this earth's goods. We want his happiness. But many of us really don't want him alone. The church once confessed its sins. Now it confesses its rights. How many of us would serve him if he offered nothing but himself? No healing, no success, no prosperity, no restoration, no deliverance, no worldly blessings, no miracles, no signs, no wonders. What if, once again, we had to take joyfully the spoiling of our goods? What if, instead of clear sailing and problem-free living, we faced shipwreck? Trouble within and fightings without. What if, instead of painless living, we suffered cruel mockings, stoning, bloodshed? What if we were sawn asunder, like men of old? What if, instead of our beautiful homes and cars, we had to wander about in the deserts in sheepskins, hiding in dens, cowering down in caves? What if, instead of prosperity, we were destitute, afflicted, and tormented? The only better thing provided for us was Christ. What if then? Very few of God's people really pray anymore. Not really. They are too busy working for Jesus to talk to him. There is time to visit, to build, to travel, time to vacation, time to attend meetings, time for recreation, reading, counseling, time to enjoy ourselves. But even though there's often time to praise the Lord, there is no time to pray. Christians who do not pray become promoters. They become frustrated building contractors. When they lose touch with God, they lose touch with people. They substitute sweat for unction and anointing. The shame of this generation is that we have too many talented men and women of God and only a few who have touched God in prayer. People are so busy wanting what they want that they refuse to stop in the middle of their heartbreak and inquire of God if there's another way. I'm 100% for getting prayer back in our public schools, but that is not God's real problem. His problem is getting prayer back into the homes. His problem is getting prayer back into the churches. His problem is to get his own chosen people to pray. And you are a phony if you fight for school prayer and neglect secret closet praying yourself. Do we pray? Oh, yes. When we need something, we know how to pray. We have the formula down pat. In the name of Jesus, we shout. All we need him for is to countersign our petitions and our checks before God. I am weary of hearing people say, "This is such a busy age. I have no time to pray. I would like to, but I don't have time." And then they will tell me, they will spend a few moments here or there while they're going here or there. They are no longer on their knees. They are no longer torn before the cross. No, it's not a lack of time. It is a lack of desire. We make time for what we really want to do. Look at most of the Christian young people wasting hours of time playing video games, dealing with chasing Pokemon who does not exist, Pac-Man, Galaxy Wars. They're bored, they're restless, looking for some action somewhere, but they're too cowardly to join the military and fight for the country, and they're too lazy to fight for the things of the kingdom of God, so they lay around and they do weak living, easy things. No time for Jesus, no time to pray. "Oh God," he says, "somehow, some way, get us on our knees. Not just the Lord's Prayer, but a daily communion with Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has the care and concern for multiplied universes, has the time to pray just for us. He takes the time to intercede for you before the throne of God, as Hebrews 7:25 says, that he lives to intercede for us. And we so often say that we do not have time to pray to him or concerning his desires. We work feverishly for Christ we ignore. We will go anywhere and we will do anything in his name, but we will not pray. We will praise, we will worship, we will even read our word and do kind acts. We will sing, we will visit the sick, we will go tend to the prisoners, but we will not pray, not really. We will counsel the hurt and the needy. We will stay up all night to comfort a friend, but we will not really pray. We will fight corruption on every level. We will crusade for morality. We will stand up against nuclear weapons, but we will not pray, not really. We pray only enough to be comfortable that we're getting what we want. But heaven forbid we would pierce the veil and hear what God wants to our own dismay and even destruction. If we don't pray, usually it is because we really don't believe it works. Prayer is a bloody battleground. It is where victories are won. It is a place to die to self. It is a place where you get to get over what you want and your opinions. It is a place where a holy God exposes secret sin. No wonder Satan tries to hinder prayer. A praying person sends a shudder through hell. That man or woman is marked because Satan knows prayer is the power that crushes his own kingdom. Satan is not afraid of power-hungry saints, of glory-bound saints, but he trembles at the sound of a praying saint. Amen. Difficult words from a mighty man. I don't like to speak of abundant, amazing blessings that come with sacrifice and obedience, especially after what we just read from the grave. But I must, because the Lord is on the edge of committing a glorious and great crime against Satan. And we will surely be the benefactors of that. I don't tell you to pray or expect because you need something. I tell you to pray and expect because your Father loves you and he has good for you. But we must get to the place where we remember how to pray. Now, I'm not poking at people or picking on people. Some of you got it. But the point is, some of us don't. Romans 8:26-27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This means that you have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you have to be willing to be overcome by the Holy Ghost to accomplish the will of God. Some may say, well, it's not necessary. Read Romans 8 again. It is necessary. You don't know what you're praying. I don't know what I'm doing. But in the heat of battle, in the midst of prayer, when the Holy Spirit takes over, we begin to make intercession in the Spirit toward the will of God with groanings that cannot be understood. It is God praying his will through weak vessels, which are us. If we do not lend ourselves to that, if we do not lend ourselves to that and stay in prayer long enough to reach that spot, we have done nobody any good. And we hurt ourselves because now we're teaching ourselves to do wrong. I'm not an animal person. I mean, if they're smaller than a horse, I don't really get them. But, you know, we've had our share of animals, as anybody would who has children. Now, this might seem gross, but it's real, and you're going to remember this. I hope you do. It's not quite mice on ice, but hey. Cynthia had a dog, a boy dog, that never lifted his leg when he went to use the toilet. He never did that. He just squatted down and went to the bathroom like a raccoon or something. We put him in a kennel for 3 days, and he came out, was lifting his leg and spraying on everything. And I asked the dog trainer, why is he doing that? Well, he learned it. It's learned. Dogs don't naturally do that. They learn that from other male dogs. And so it's the same, as sick as that is, it's the same idea for us. We learn bad behavior. And when you constantly line yourself up to perform weak prayer, and you be accountable to a weak God that you have created, you've taught yourself something bad now. Somebody on the worship team was going to go and help somebody out, and their church, they needed help for 6 months. And I said, well, go. They've helped at other meetings before, and I'm fine. Go do it. But this was Sunday morning commitment for 6 months. And I said, do what you want. But I'm telling you, if you go, you'll never be the same. It will ruin you because you'll know how to do it easy. You'll know what it feels like to sing three songs. You'll know what it feels like to ignore what the Holy Spirit wants because he wants it for the one person in the corner in the back and nobody knows it but him, but you must prevail. You will forget how to do that. And you'll have bad behavior. It won't go well for you. And it is true with anything. Once you teach yourself a way out how to be cheap with God, then you steal from him, you steal from yourself, and you steal from the kingdom. Now, all this is important because of some things that were said the last couple weeks. I want you to write these three stages down. Repent, obey, and pursue. I'm going to read some stories, and those are the places that we're going. Repent, obey, pursue. I don't want to minimize the fact that, yes, you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and not in such a way that you've got a hold of him. You've got to let him get a hold of you. You've got to let him take you to that next place. It's important. Mark 10, let's turn there. Mark 10, 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out more, a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Now imagine the scene. Imagine what's happening. They're going somewhere. There's a great number of people. His disciples are with him, and he's trying to train them and teach them to carry on the work. A lot is at stake. But yet and still, because one man cries out, we find Jesus stands still. When you see Scripture speak of Jesus in an extraordinary way, you have to pay attention. When Zacchaeus was up a tree, Jesus said, I've got to go to your house today. You're going to make me lunch. It's a big deal. I must go, Jesus said. And here he stands still. He commands that the man be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calls thee. And verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. This is an important passage for us. I could talk about this a long time. I want you to talk about it a long time to yourself and to Jesus. And I want you to get this in your bones. The guy cried out. And then after people told him to shut his yap and be quiet, he cried out more. Because the disciples in the book of Acts were bold, they were beat and they were imprisoned. They had something they wanted to ask God. Of all the things they could ask, don't be stupid, boys. Don't ask for more boldness, but yet they did. They said, we don't care that we got beat up and thrown in jail. Man, give us more of that stuff. Give us more boldness. So we can't be afraid of the things that the world threatens us. He was told to be quiet. And after he's told to be quiet, now listen, after he's told to be quiet, he cries out more. Your life will most regularly, frequently, if not consistently, tell you to be quiet. It has a way of doing CPR on your soul. It's okay. Revive yourself. You don't need to pray like that. You don't. No. Let's have a good time because the world is enraptured by entertainment. And so you have to make distinct choices. Martin's grandfather, he's gone on, but he stayed with us for a while. A Catholic man, but man, he loved Jesus. Every morning at 4, he was up from 4 to 7 praying for his family. He put full gospel people, most of them, to shame. But yet the full gospels would declare because he was Catholic he was going to hell. Such foolishness. Foolishness. Few people could pray like that man and meant it. Let's step away from judging the whys and the what ifs and take care of our own condition and our own trouble and our own lack. Your body does not like your spirit. You know, it's like when you meet somebody and you have to decide, are you going to be kind or not, even though they're horrible to you? But once you make that decision, you stick to it. The Lord has created this kindness for me and this path to walk through, and you must. The minute you understand your body doesn't like your spirit, settle it there and quit letting your body win. You have to sometimes kick yourself out of bed. You have to fall hard sometimes. You may be able to stay up and watch a television show for an hour beyond what was reasonable, but to get on your knees in prayer, buddy, you're in it now. The Lord knows you're tired. He doesn't care. He knows you don't feel that great. Doesn't care. Oh, he cares about you. But when you start saying, I can't pray because, he doesn't care. He cares that you pray. Do not be misled. He cares for you and he loves you. But he is not going to prefer your weak body over his kingdom. He never will, and that's what we like about him. He knows you're tired. He knows you're weary. He knows everybody's mad at you. He knows you hate your job. He knows you're working 18 hours. Look, I invented the 18-hour day. Don't talk to me. Right? You got to do what you're supposed to do. And if you don't feel good, well, good. If you don't want to, well, good. If you're stressed out, well, good. You're so busy judging everybody else for the things you can't do that you're never going to get anything done. So this is admonition, instruction, and whatever else you want to call it. This man had to do three things that I want you to write down. This man, one, cast away his garment. Cast away his garment. What does anybody think that means? Past, yep. Identity, past, comfort, even clinging to wounds. Some people are so afraid that something bad's going to happen that they grab control of everything and they will not allow God to be God. And so they won't never pray. Not really. Not really. One, he cast away his garment. Two, he rose up. And three, he had to come. So he had to cast off comfort. He had to rise up out of what was familiar. And he had to walk away from what he knew. We pray until we feel the Lord has given us the petition. And then we praise him until it comes, believing it's on the way. I have endeavored to teach you this. It is in the word. You understand it. You know it. But when you believe it's on the way, there's a difference that happens between when you're praying till you have peace that it will come. Let me explain. Praying and praying after you feel the answer comes is a ridiculous form of unbelief and weakness. If I feel that the answer's on the way, but I keep praying, perfect example. My hand, you know, my body does this weird thing, and the Lord only knows, but this swelled up real bad today. It was real hot. I had bruises, and this side, blood vessels, blood was squirting everywhere. I was like a freak show. Okay, this stuff happens to me for now. Well, I came in here, and I said, hey, Marty and Sheepdog, pray for me. I mean, the pain was off the rails. I'm like, what's going on, man? They prayed for me and David. 20 seconds later, it's like 1/4 of what it was. It feels great. Okay? Now, about 20 minutes ago, it started hurting real bad again. What do I do? Do I say, come on, guys, pray for me again. It's coming back. No, it's in my court now. I will rebuke the devil and praise the Lord because I have my manifestation of healing. But when you don't do that and you just, I need prayer again. No, stand on something. Build a soapbox if you have to. Stand on something. To continually going after it and after it, this abomination. You have to be able to stand firm on it. Praying and praying after you know it is here is a horrible thing to do. It's disrespect unto God. So that's mine now to deal with, and it's going to do what it's told. Amen? Now, along those lines, when we pray until we feel the Lord gives us the petition is interesting. Because people don't always want to pray that long. They don't always want to pray that hard. And it doesn't always go well, and I'll tell you why. Because they're on the wrong track. God doesn't want them praying that because they're not supposed to pray that because that's not his will. But they keep after it and keep after it and keep after it. And they're in this bizarre cycle, and they never get an answer. Because God's not going north. He's going south on that. But if you hear God, you have to give up your hopes and dreams of the northbound road. And you got to go south because that's where he told you to go. So praying until you get the petition can take you years if you have an opinion, if you want what you want, if you're rebellious toward God. It could take you your lifetime and you never get there. And then you've wasted all your time. You cannot praise God because why? Something's always happening, a problem. Why? God's trying to knock on the side of your head, telling you, wake up. I'm not going that way. But you want your way, so you keep at it and you keep at it. And God says, man, I can't do one good thing for you, even though I'm a good, good God, because you won't listen. So the mandates of prayer, I'm getting there. Unbelief and weakness so that you can have what you want will destroy your prayer life. You are not to come to God. You are not. Nobody is to come to God with an opinion, although we are supposed to pray specifically. God has told us to do some things that are just like, dude, really? That is just unfair and unreasonable. But he's God. And then when you do those things, all the glory of God opens up. Because God is addicted to obedience. He just loves it when we obey. John 15, 16, just write it down. I'll read it real fast. I'm reading this from the New Revised Standard Version because it explains this very well. Pay attention to the two words, so that. John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. That scripture should be right tied into Colossians 3, 23. Just mangle your mind with that scripture. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to bear fruit. And not only to bear fruit, but to bear awesome fruit, good fruit, fruit that will last. How long? Probably for eternity. God's eternal. Fruit that will last. So that the Father can give you whatever you ask in my name. If you ask the Father to do something in his name for you, but you have not behaved appointed, and you are not bearing fruit, then the last part of this scripture cannot come to pass. You will make God look bad, and you will constantly be asking the Lord for stuff that is not in your wheelhouse. In other words, because of the fruit, the lasting fruit, we are able to gain an entrance into the front of the asking line. You ever been in Disneyland and it's probably happened to you, where it's been a long line and somebody came up and gave you their fast pass? Did that ever happen to you? I alone am blessed. So that's happened a couple times where they say, oh, I can't use this, you know, we got to go do something here. And you go right to the front of the line, and you weren't expecting it because the fast passes were all gone, and you're in the back of the line, and it's your favorite ride, and you're okay, you're in it to win it. But, you know, it's a long day. That's happened to me a couple times. It's the greatest feeling because you know what? Somebody cared and said, you're going up here. You're special, Laura. You're moving up here. Out of all the crowds, you are moving over here. It's a great feeling. Well, this is what the Lord is saying. You get an entrance to the front of the asking line. If you will just be willing to bear fruit that remains, if you're willing to pray and understand you're a chosen vessel and to behave that way, then you alone can go before the Lord and say, I'm asking you for this. And your heart will be right, bound in integrity. This is important as we pray fervently and specifically. Because if you don't have this, you will ask amiss, as the word says, and consume it on your own lusts. You have to be willing to bear fruit with your life. And you have to be willing, and there's some of these pages here if you want to take them, if you need them, and there's no more, email me, I'll send it to you. They're the pages from the leadership and staff meeting on Sunday. And it deals with, does your life have a following? Your life deserves a following. Christ deserves your life to have a following. You should behave in such a way that people will trust you as you go. This is important because when you pray specifically and fervently, if you are in the way, you're never going to get to part two. You're never going to get to ask what you will and it shall be done. It'll never happen. Then you're a bad example and you're a bad testimony because you're in the way, because you're constantly praying about something that you don't want the answer to, that you can't get rid of, that you can't give up control of, that you can't surrender, and you're in this spin cycle and you're never going to get out of it. And you'll never get to the point where you can just, boom, ask what you will and it shall be done. And you're not going to bear fruit. What you're going to do is bear dumb prayers is what you're going to do. That's why I'm sorry. On Sunday, I told that guy, I'm not praying for you no more. I prayed for you how many times already? For the same thing? No. Answer's no. Because to me, that's abomination. You pray it through. You find an answer. You hold on to it. You protect it. You praise the Lord in it, and you move on with it. Amen. We're not those weak people. And I need you to catch up with that. Now, we have to behave chosen. We have to behave appointed. We have to behave fruitful. We have to make sure our fruit is the kind of fruit that will last so that the Father will give you what we ask in his name. Because what we're asking him is for the state of California. It's a big ask. The Lord said to give him 6 months. And he'll break the stronghold over this state. And he meant it. Now, that doesn't mean that we can go have a picnic for 6 months and say, well, you know, God's got it. You have to do your part, and this is your part. Knowing you're chosen by God, knowing you got to get yourself out of the way, knowing you're appointed to bear fruit that lasts, deal with yourself. If you have the same prayer over and over and over again, something is wrong with you. Fix it. Surrender, lose control, do whatever it is you have to do, but fix it. If all you can do is pray about that one stupid thing that continually concerns you, then you're a problem. Okay? Moving on. Andrew Murray wrote in his book, With Christ in the School of Prayer, obedience and faith are simply two parts of one act. Surrender to God and his will. As faith strengthens itself in order to be obedient, it is in turn strengthened by obedience. This is on podcast, but it's so good. I'm going to read it again. Obedience and faith are simply two parts of one act. Surrender to God and his will. As faith strengthens itself in order to be obedient, it is in turn strengthened by obedience because faith is made perfect by works. Once again, we are left with a repeating cycle. Faith, what does it do? It leads to obedience. And obedience strengthens that very faith that it came from. Sometimes you're able to obey by the skin of your teeth. And other times you'd be like, I could do this all day, right? We have to know the difference. At times we don't obey because we haven't tapped in to the faith that God has given us. Then we pray, our prayers are not answered. Why? Because we failed to obey. And we did not fully engage in John 15:16. You are chosen, you have to behave chosen, you have to behave appointed so that you will bear not just fruit, but fruit that lasts And when that happens, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. People want to ask what they will and it shall be done when they have no fruit that lasts. They don't behave chosen. They don't behave appointed. But they want to whip out the end of this verse and call God a liar when it doesn't happen. We have to get over ourselves. Some of you have slipped into this horrifying pit and you can't get out. And I'm telling you now, this is your rope. Get out. There's nobody coming in there and getting muddy with you. Get out. Your prayer life has been compromised, and you need to stop it. The state of California is at stake. The Lord said, give me 6 months, and I'll break the stronghold. Well, he needs a people who are not whining about the same stupid thing all the time. I got news for you. Here's a news flash. Job's kids died. You want me to tell you why? Job, every day. Don't let my children sin. Help my children. Help my children. God, bless my children. Help my children. What if they sin? I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll do another sacrifice. What if they sin? I don't know. Guess what? They all died. You are playing with fire. Fire. God's going to have his way. You weren't taught a cheap way. You weren't taught cheap living. And you certainly were not taught easy living. You paid a price to get in here. You paid a price to be part of what's going on. And I'm telling you, there's no sense to fail in the end. God cares about you, but not more than his kingdom. God cares about your body, but not more than his kingdom. We have to come to the place where we're more consecrated to God than we are to receiving the answer to our prayer. It's like that. And without it being like that, it's ugly. We have to be more consecrated to God than our own desire for what we want. And I'm letting you know, I don't know, maybe you're not going to like it, but I'm telling you, if you continually allow things to destroy your walk with God to this perfection, I'm not saying you would go to hell. It's not my business. But I'm telling you, you won't come to the place you're supposed to come to. Everything you hold dear can go away. And it will. Well, I am not threatening you. I'm explaining the facts of life to you that your mama never told you. I am telling you, it can go away and bloody well should. If you want to live like that, then there's another place you can go. I always send people over here. You can go ahead and go around the corner. They'll leave you alone. They love the Lord. It's nice. Everybody's happy. It's good. My idea is that you are like the people that served Solomon. And when the Queen of Sheba came, she said, oh, and the people, they're all so happy. That's you. You're a joyful, happy bunch. But for the next 6 months, you're going to have to hurt yourself and trust God with the thing that you're whining about. Because God put a mandate on this place. And you know what? You may say, well, what does it matter? It matters a whole lot. If one person does their job, a whole state can be saved. And there's more than one person, and there's more than one body. But I know this, like I said when we started, there is blessings, abundant and amazing blessings. As we walk forward in what God wants us to do. So don't allow somebody to do that. Some people, they're just like, well, I'm too stressed out. Well, I need to do that. And they're not praying. And they're not pressing into the kingdom work. Don't let them do that. Love them enough to straighten them out. Do we really believe in what we ask God for? If all we're doing is whining and wanting, you're not believing, you're hoping. I mean, it's a crapshoot. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're going to get because there's no belief in that. There cannot be because you're so busy wondering what's going to happen. Are you willing to obey? Am I willing to obey God to the point where we're called to pray more than we are called to complain? Is John 15, 16 part of our life? Fruit that remains. That's what we have to be about. And I know that if there's a people that will constantly have this weird kung fu grip on what they want, it's because they do not trust the Lord. And if you can't trust the Lord, who are you? You're fearful. You're nothing. You're not chosen. You can't behave appointed. You're going to concentrate on judgment and fear is all you're going to do, because that is what control produces. If you say that I trust God to take care of you, but you worry about your finances, you're a liar. Pretty much. Now, I'm not saying manage. Things have to be. So you got to look at, I borrowed from Peter to pay Paul so much, I killed Peter. He couldn't handle the stress. So, I mean, we've all had that. Driving a car that you got to put water in the radiator every 2 miles, bald tires everywhere, just borrowing money from your kid's piggy bank to buy gas. The car breaks down, and I had a car one time that if you let up off the gas, it would die. So I was like, I can't stop at stop signs. I got to just keep going. I'd go in front of the kids' school, and I would go really slow. But if I put the brake on, I'd say, get out. They'd jump out, And in high school, that car, I had a girlfriend who was a mechanic of sorts, and she kept it running. She called it a sewing machine. But, man, it was that thing. We've all had these moments, you know what I mean? I was allergic to my car. It had mold in it. I was growing a lawn in the trunk. I mean, when I came home from school, I had to go behind semis to get home at night from teaching because I had no lights. I had no defroster. We've been there. Everybody's been there. But then there's the day where you're not there anymore, and you'd be a fool to pretend you were. Right? It's the same spiritually. When you have the information of heaven in front of you and you don't take it, you're putting your spirit back into the dark ages. Why would you do that? Just because it's a little effort. Yeah, it is a little effort. It is a little effort. You need to get an ice pack and put it on your face. You need to walk around and straighten yourself out. I used to get terrible ice burns on my head. And Martin's like, you're supposed to cover it with the rag. I'm like, ah. I think I have PTSD from learning how to pray fervently. I was young. I could do it. Do what it takes. If you're walking in the cool of the day, like the Minute King Camp and getting up early, or you're hanging out at the end of the day with the women who are frazzled with the work they must do, whatever it is, please do it. If we do not obey God when he asks us to trust him, should we expect him to answer anything? No. He's not. Why would he? He's working on the trust issue in you. Why on earth would you get a prayer answered when getting a prayer answered would take away his ability to teach you how to trust? Unrelenting. When we pray about things, we have to really put our trust in him and leave it alone. Daniel's prayer, let's look at that. I'm trying not to keep it until tomorrow. But I want you to make it. Can you feel that? Do you sense that? I want you to make it. There are some people that don't come anymore to the RC. And I'm like, well, where are you? What's going on? Well, it's too much. We can't, too much. We can't hack it. We can't take it. I don't judge that. And I pray that they find a place that's good for them. But every one of those people, when they leave, when they lose their job, they call. When their kid gets a disease, they call. It takes everything in me. to not say, well, what about that easy joint you're going to? Climb their tree for prayer. I don't say it. Wickedly, I think it sometimes, but... And they call you. It's not just my boat that's floating around. They call you. And you have to be kind and gracious and good and right and just and holy and full of integrity and honor and say, yes, of course, my brother, my sister, I will pray for you. They can't take the heat. Let them go. Let them go. Some of the most precious people on the planet are right around the corner. I mean, I would like to go there and get a break, you know? I feel it. I'm like, do you have Sunday night church, you know? Awesome. Super awesome. Super tremendous. Yeah. But man, they're cool. I mean, they're just peaceful and precious. You know why? They're called to that. Those guys are called to that. Those guys are called to that. And we're called to this. We're called to draw blood. Now, if you're in the wrong place, I'm letting you know. If you thought you were going to Ohio, this boat's going to Florida. You might want to get off. So sometimes you just need a little checkup. It's like, where are we? I mean, here you go. This is what we're doing. Now, I know that I could ask you to do this because I know that you trust the Lord and I know that you believe me. Now, when there was an event in Hanford and the worship team, they flaked out, and I was in, where was I? Rhode Island. And I get a call, and they said, well, we don't have a worship team. And I said, the RC worship team will do it. They will? I'm like, yeah. Do you need to call them? No, I don't need to call them. They'll do it. They will drop everything and come help you. And they did. Because they know how. Amen? And the whole world can count on that, our world, our space. Just like you, God wants to put very difficult things in your hand. But he can't do it if you're always crying and carrying on about how stupid your life is. And I learned this firsthand when my boy passed away. I thought, how am I going to do this? This is catastrophic loss. How am I going to help anybody when all I want is to curl up in a ball and want my son? How am I going to do it? How can I pull it off? And I didn't know anything about grief. But the Lord said, come on, come with me. And he took me down the road. He took me down the road. That's why I could preach his funeral. That's why I could preach in here 4 days after he passed away. That's why I went on. That's why when people come to me and they say, oh, well, yeah, we're the same. You know, my son passed away too. My son was a drug addict, and I was estranged, and he passed away. And I'm thinking, nah, we're not the same. Every mother loves her child, but that's not my child. I can't imagine that pain. I can't imagine being estranged from your son. And all of a sudden he dies of a drug overdose. That's horrible. What is that? Everybody's grief is different. Everybody's pain is different. But I had to get to the other side. And the number one key was this. Nothing should get above the bloodline. Amen. Nothing. Not your need, not your want, not your kids, not your job or the lack thereof, how great you're misunderstood, your poverty. Nothing should be above the bloodline. The bloodline of Jesus Christ cancels every problem you ever had, even your grief. And you know, in those first few months, I would get up here and I would just say, I can't do it. I don't know if you remember, and I can't do it. And I would walk in there, and I would howl and cry. And then somebody would come up, usually Kathleen. So let's talk about missions, you know. And somebody would give a testimony, or the band would play, because I had reached my limit. But I wasn't going to give up. I wasn't going to give up. Because why? I wanted fruit that would remain. And if I got wrapped up in my grief and my trouble, I would not have fruit that would remain. Does that help you? You must endeavor and pursue Christ to the point you have fruit that will remain. And you don't have to lose a child or a job or a loved one or half of your brain. Anything that comes your way, measure it against the bloodline and learn how to shove it down under the bloodline and let God be glorified. Amen? Daniel's prayer is in Daniel 9. I'm going to read the first 21 verses in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years. Wherefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now listen. And I set my face, says verse 3, unto the Lord, to seek by prayer and supplication, with fasting, with sackcloth, with ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and I said, Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in the name of our kings, or princes, and our fathers, unto all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Sidebar. Daniel's probably one of the most perfect people in the Word of God, as was Joshua, as was Ezra, as was Nehemiah, as was these dudes that prayed these kick me in the face, God, if you want to prayers. They had done nothing wrong, but they looked at the state of the nation and they were willing to own it. Because if you don't own it, what you do is you judge the people who are creating the problem. And you discount the fact that you yourself are creating the problem, because where were you when this started? Was God trying to get you to pray and you wouldn't do it? Was God trying to move you into righteousness and you wouldn't go because you had to work so much overtime? What was God doing to you, and what were you willing to do to him? These people said, man, we've messed up. They prayed fervently. They put dirt on themselves, ashes on themselves. They fasted. They were begging God, and they were taking the blame themselves. And I remember years ago, I was at a meeting, and it was a tough situation. I was probably 20, and these people were getting slammed by God. It was no party. And I remember sitting there going, oh, man, way up in the balcony, thinking, oh, Lord. It was powerful. I'm like, how could they have drifted so far? Man, the Lord jerked me so straight, and he said, they didn't drift so far. They got where they are because you knew they were doing this and you didn't pray. I got rebuked and they got a lollipop. Why? Because I should have known better. That's why. You stand in judgment of them. Your face isn't wet with tears. Your heart isn't broken for their soul. You don't care that I'm worried and concerned. You don't care that that's my children. They're going to hell and they're taking people with them. And you stand on your white castle and say they're bad. But I had nothing to do with it. Pharisee, you judge. That was hard for a 20-year-old to take. I learned from that. I'm still learning from that. You don't like it. All right. You know, I get it. You don't like it. Well, quit being so fervent about the things you're worried about. Quit being so fervent about the things you're worried about and start being fervent for the things that concern God. Amen. Right? Listen, guys, I've had to take that pill. Because I am so worried about things that are happening up north that I'm like, just not safe, don't go, don't go. Well, sometimes I forget to pray for those dudes. And we got to. We got to care like God cares, because God does care. God doesn't have this exclusive club where we're better because we're doing the fight. No. He likes the little lambie people too. He likes the little goat people too. You know, he likes everybody. You're just doing your job or you're not doing your job. You see? And so when you stand in judgment of somebody who's blatantly doing something wrong, you're being an un-Daniel. Daniel was, he's one of the coolest guys. And yet he's saying, yeah, man, we have committed iniquity. We have sinned. He wasn't in on any of that. But he was willing to take the hit because it was his country. Now, here we are in the state of California. God intends to do something. And you read Daniel 9 over and over again. He intends to do something. But he needs a people that will rise up and say, man, we have done wickedly. Because we were condemning that and judging that instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to break our heart over it. That's all I'm going to say about that. In verse number 7, O Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as it is this day. To the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. He didn't say because they sinned against you, because we. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against God. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For unto the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done unto Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Please remember, this is Daniel speaking. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thy anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Do you see the progression? He's owning the sin. He's taking it. He's repenting over it. He has remorse over it. It's a very real thing. Once he does that, he says, Lord, but according to your righteousness, let your anger and your fury be turned away. You can't pray verse 16 until you have the first 15 verses where you own a thing. Incline thine ear, he says in verse 18, and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. Hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, do you hear that? I was speaking, I'm praying, I'm confessing my sin and the sins of the people. and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening sacrifice. If you get lost, just read that. If your prayers aren't being answered, just read this. He did not come at anybody. He said, I'm in it too. We share ground here. And I want you to remember that as you go forward in the state of California. This is everyone's problem. Everyone's problem. Just because we didn't do it doesn't mean we are clean from it, doesn't mean we don't have to pray against it so that God can prevent it. Daniel, as he prays, you know, he includes himself with the rest of the nation. It's really quite beautiful. I mean, like I said, Nehemiah did this. Ezra did this. Many great men and women in the Word of God did this. They took the blame for the dirt, for the sin that was in the dirt. Now, there's four parts. I'm trying not to keep you long, but I'm not going to revisit this again. This is 6 months. Somebody, Mary Linda, you'll let me know when 6 months is up. Or maybe a week before. Daniel's prayer can be broken into four parts. They are applicable for any believer as we pray. Now, when you come at the Lord, as you would, you come at him, to him, with him in repentance. Let him break your heart for what breaks his. This is key. Don't judge this or judge that. And one of the best things you could do is get rid of social media. Outside of 5 minutes a day, lose it. And I'll tell you why. Because most of it is fake. Most of it is extraordinarily puffed up. You know, they're making a big deal out of nothing. They're making a big deal out of nothing. And a lot of it isn't true. And then you get yourself all tangled up about the horror and the terror. No. Man, give yourself 5 minutes a day. Check on a couple things and get off of there because it's wrong. It's leading you out of how you're supposed to pray. So pay attention to that. All the social media, it's not helping you. It's not helping you. Realize the sin, number one. That's verses 4-6. Realize the sin. So you got to realize it. You got to own it. Don't blame. Now, in the midst of their sin, ABC under one, I'm a college professor. I'm teaching you to take notes. Always I'm teaching you to take notes. There are three avenues. A, they were wicked and they rebelled. You realize their sin, verses 4-6. The destruction came. A, they were wicked and they rebelled. B, they turned away from God's commandments and laws. And C, they did not listen. It is very clear in Daniel's prayer, part of the lament is, they didn't listen to the people over them. They didn't listen to the godly people next to them. They didn't listen to anybody that God was big enough and smart enough and good enough to bring their way. They were smarty pants, full of pride, wicked, rebellious. They only wanted what they wanted. And when you go to God and you only want what you want, I got news. You're not getting it. And they lost touch of everything. Their wickedness and rebellion caused them to not hear God, caused them to turn away from God. The second part to the four parts is this, two. They react to God's righteousness, verses 7-11. Number three, recognize the punishment, verses 11-14. Recognize the punishment. And fourth, request action by God. And that was so beautiful in verses 15-19. You can't request action from God if you don't realize the sin, if you're not willing to react to God's righteousness, if you're not willing to request punishment and hang in there and say, like, you know what? yeah, why request mercy, but do what you got to do, man. Make me right. Get it right. Take things down. First, there is a restoration request, part and parcel to number four. Understand. There's a restoration request. Now, you know because you read this, Daniel recognizes that God is still in control of the situation. In the midst of this mess, God's in control, and he knows God can forgive and restore Israel. Very important. He didn't lose hope. Then there is a response request. So there's a restoration request, and then there's what I like to call a response request. Daniel asked that God would look, listen, act, and not delay. And we need this. The whole world needs this. But right now, we're talking about the state of California. Our basket's only so big. We need to ask the Lord, as Daniel did, that God would look, listen, act, and not delay. But you know from what we've talked about already, you cannot get there if you don't do these other steps, if you're not behaving ordained, if you're not behaving appointed, you're not behaving chosen, you don't care about fruit that remains. You can't get any of the things you're supposed to get if you don't walk in that. And I'm serious when I tell you this. You know, maybe it's not for you. You know, don't just disappear. Let me know. I'll buy you lunch. Some of you have had lunch bought for you already. You know, and you could just let me know. It's too much, man. And I will love you to the end of time, as everybody in this church will. You know how hard it is to climb a mountain when you got a giant backpack and a wagon with 800 pounds in it? It's tough. It's really, really tough. So don't be the rocks in the box in the wagon. Be the guy pulling the wagon, and let's get together. And so there's no harm, no foul. If you can't take it, if you can't pray, you don't want to do the stuff, all right, but then you need to step aside, okay? Do we understand? We lovingly go. Okay, Daniel requested rapid action by God. And from what we read, hey, an angel comes. So after all these steps are lived out, Gabriel tells him, hey, man, as soon as you begin to pray, I was sent down here. But there was a battle going on. And guess what? I won. His prayers were effective. Daniel goes on to get one of the greatest prophecies in the Word of God because he did not give up and he was willing to own it. He was willing to realize his sin. 1 John 1:9, and we're almost done. It tells us, if we confess our sins, now these are tied together. Yes, Daniel and this is tied together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Those are tied together if we confess. So we need to do some confessings. A lot of people are working tonight. They couldn't get here. They're out of town. I know they'll listen to this. I'm happy for that. But it applies to you, and I'm telling you, you have to confess your sin. And your sin of not giving a rip also. Listen, not on our watch. What kind of a mess is this? How could this have happened? But here we are. It's not a good thing. So we have to repent. We've got to go there. And I want to tell you Psalm 18. And this is really a hopeful scripture for you as you go forward in this, understanding that when God puts righteousness on you through the blood of his Son and you don't ignore it, he joys in doing the right thing over you. But we have to let him do it. We cannot tie his hands by ridiculous disobedience and laziness. Okay? So here we go. Psalm 18, 23 and 24. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. He's owning it. I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my own righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. Behavior matters, man. Intention matters. Nobody is perfect, but when you walk that Daniel prayer out and you start owning stuff and quit judging everybody, man, power happens. We got to get our state back. I don't know if you believe this or believe in this, you know, but, and I don't really like, I mean, I don't mind if the Lord convicts, that's cool, but I don't want to be the condemning guy. But my pastor growing up always had dreams of bombs in parking lots in New York. And, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, it wasn't, terrorist wasn't really a word. 9/11 meant 911, you know. But she would have these visions and these dreams, and she'd call prayer meetings, and people would pray against these bombs and backpacks. Well, usually within 12 hours, those bombs were found. I saw her crawling in pain, but she would not quit praying. I saw her bloody, and she would not quit praying. And there wasn't a time, now, maybe other things happened that she wasn't aware of, but there wasn't a time when God did not show her that she didn't see it to the end. And every time she saw it to the end, those bombs were found. Because, see, this woman didn't have an easy life, but she could care less about her hard life. She could care less about it. She cared about Jesus. That was all she'd say was Jesus. And even when I was going through some, man, hard things, I'd call her and she'd say, "Pray! Let the Holy Spirit have his way." And she'd go off in tongues. And I'd say, "Yeah, but I really need advice right now, you know." She'd say, "No advice. Let the Holy Ghost have his way." She wouldn't talk about anything. She was in God constantly. That was my example. I missed that mark so often. But let the Holy Spirit have his way. And that's why sometimes people say, "Well, worship was too long." And I just weep inside. And I'm like, "Didn't you hear the Holy Spirit saying the Lord wanted 10 more minutes of worship? What about that guy back there? He just walked in off the street and the Lord's moving on him. And you want to go home? You're a saint. Will you not understand that he could be redeemed through worship, right?" Very difficult, very, very hard for me. And I can't judge that. But everybody's in a different place. But in here, we're not in that place. If something's going on and you don't understand, then you just need to figure out the Lord is having his way. The Holy Ghost is having his way. Like that guy that came and he stood over there in the no spin zone as if he knew. And he had trouble, you know. And I just felt like, "Don't touch him." And everybody felt the same thing. "Don't touch him." 2 hours and 15 minutes later. And I know some people that were bit by religion were like, you know, they're giving me the high sign, like, you know. He was reaching God. And I was over there. I was watching him. And everybody left him alone. When he got up, and he started walking that way, so I started walking that way. And I met him there, and I put my arms out. And he came running to me, and he fell into me. And he said, "Thank you. I'm a merchant marine, and I'm going back out to sea. I don't know when I'll ever be back. But I heard if I came in here, I would touch God." He said, "If one person would have touched me, I would have not reached the Lord. I needed to be by myself. I have sin upon sin. I would not have been able to reach God." He said, "Thank you for resisting your need to minister to me." He goes, "I'm made whole today." and he left. 2 hours and 15 minutes. And I got news. At least five people after church. Well, what was going on? What was the service so long for? I mean, that was uncalled for. I don't think we really needed to worship that long. And I'm like, where's my gun? Because you're not thinking with your spirit. You're thinking with your head, and you're hungry, and you're uncomfortable. There's a guy that has diabetes. He lives across town. He goes, I can't come there. You know, church should get out right at 11:30. An hour and a half is all you need. I'm diabetic. I go, why don't you come up and get prayer for your diabetes? He's got to go have a meal. It's tough. But I'll tell you, Sister Vi died. She died probably 6 months before the Twin Towers were attacked. And I can tell you with complete confidence, if she'd been on this earth, that would have never happened. One woman. One old, weary, tired woman. It would have never happened. Because she was on the firing line constantly. So my friend, you know, in Arizona calls me. I told some of you this story. He calls up and he says, so I got to talk to you. I need you to come here face to face. I'm like, all right. So I fly out there. So him and his wife, and he says, listen, I had a dream. I've never been out of Arizona, and I had this dream. I couldn't figure it out. For 3 days, I have this dream. I go, well, what was your dream? He said, well, my dream was played out on September 11. I was watching those, they call them the Twin Towers, airplanes going through them. He goes, that was my dream. For 3 days, I had that dream. I go, what'd you do? He goes, I didn't do anything. I didn't know what to do. He goes, what do you think that means? Yeah, he walked right into that. I go, well, I believe with all my heart that 9/11 happened because of you. You can never talk me out of it. You're the fault. You're the reason. Because if you would have prayed, God would have heard your prayer. Because I'll tell you what, he gave you that dream for a reason. What was it, a sideshow? The Spirit's not a cabaret, man. You know, he was telling you that so you'd pray, and you didn't do it. So 9/11 comes because a man is weak. And he's like, I was afraid of that. That's why I had you fly here. I couldn't hear it over the phone. 6 months later, he was dead. Don't ask me anything about that. I got opinions, and so do you. The point is, when God shows you something, it's not playtime. It's not time to judge. It's time to behave and respond to the Spirit and own it if you need to with yourself. What is my part? Amen? Amen. Now I would love you to pray so I could be done. Thank you for sitting there, not lunging forward at me. Could you stand and we'll close in prayer. Jesus. Now, as you're standing and your oxygen's flowing, is there any questions I can ask in my kindest, gentlest voice? Okay. If you have questions, you can email me, call me, write them down, and bring them next week if you want at this spiritual warfare training. I love you. I appreciate how you take it, Man, we're almost to the end of the purpose while we are here. The end of the purpose while we are here produces the land of the living. And the fight will be diminished because we've done the work. It's not always work. It's not always hard. But I'm going to tell you, if you do it halfway, it's always hard. And you got to quit doing that. Jump all the way in. If somebody wants to go do something fun and you haven't been in prayer, you got to say, can't do it today, maybe tomorrow. Be responsible. Nobody's checking up on you except the Lord. Amen? I sure do love you. And I'm the tough love queen, but I love you so much and I feel your heart. And the Lord has put this on us that we would pray for our state and repent for the sin. So I know a lot of you work. Some of you took time off work to even get here. I appreciate it. God can hear your prayers wherever you are. But there's something amped up, something empowering when you come together. And on Wednesday nights, we come together. We're going to join in a circle. I would like each one to pray their heart as the Lord has been sharing that week, and then we'll disperse and pray as we usually do, but we need to provoke one another to good works, even in prayer. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the things you have done in the hearts of your people. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, and because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, the victory that was measured at Calvary, Father, it belongs to us, Lord. Jesus Christ, we say today loud and clear for all of hell to hear, he has risen from the dead. And devil, we cancel you and we tell you to leave every situation, every principality, stronghold, every relationship that is not of God, we destroy. And every relationship that is represented in this place, we break every demonic stronghold over that. And we shout glory to God in the midst of it. Father, those sin-laden strongholds, God, that have got a hold of the state of California, Lord, wherever they would come from, God, we tear them down, Lord. We break them in your name. You have been overcome by the blood of the Lamb, devil, and the power of the word of God's own testimony. God has spoken the words of life, abundant life over his people, and we are those people. Devil, we are not taking it anymore, and we command you to go. Father, I thank you for the privilege, Lord, of a six-month review, Lord. I thank you, Father, for a privilege of owning it, God. And we do. We repent, God. We repent that we let it slide. We put it to the side of our vision, God. We repent of it, Lord, and we ask you to forgive us, God. We ask you to forgive us for not taking it seriously, Lord, the things that you have put upon us. Lord, bring our state back to right, Lord. Bring it back to the center position. And Lord, we take our authority over the enemy and we command him to leave alone the things that concern God's people. Father, you are mighty. You are good. You are holy, Lord God. We command unity to remain and every wicked thing to be removed. I thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus, that we might grow in truth and love and holiness and fervency. It is in that power today, the power of Jesus Christ, by virtue of his shed blood, and Father God, by the Holy Spirit, is in that power today, God, that we say every piece of authority that was given to Jesus that resides in us, we will walk this authority out, and we predominate every situation as ordained by God's provision that is stored in heaven in the mighty, powerful, powerful name of Jesus. Lord God, we enjoin the answers and the needs in this house and in the state of California. We enjoin them, God, and we appoint them, Father God, to be released and to be set forth according to your glory upon this people in this house and upon this state, my God. For yours is the kingdom and yours is the glory, God. All these things, Father God, will bear no evil consequence or damage and cannot be altered or delayed by the enemy. The request of the saints, Father God, we know that you hear it. And Father God, today we cite the laws of the kingdom of God and we affirm and we authorize the answers to be manifested in your perfect timing, God. For you are holy and you are good and you are right, Father God. The only thing standing, Lord, the only thing standing, Father God, between the answer and the manifestation of it is your timing. And we yield to the timing. God, you said 6 months and we believe you. May it be said that we did our part. And I protect this people from judgment. I protect this people from pride. I protect this people from control. And devil, you will not cross the line in any life represented here. There is no fear. There is simple fervency. In the name of Jesus Christ, this is a protected people. I thank you, Father, for your goodness. Holy, holy God. Begin to worship the Lord tonight. Worship him. Oh, pray in the Spirit. Father, we love you, God, for the great and mighty things that you're doing, Lord. Holy, holy God. Foria son dalabaratalahayo. Holy God, Sheatoloboho. Holy, holy God. God, you have authorized your greatness to be manifest over the state of California. We agree with you, Lord. We agree with you, Lord. May we go through Daniel 9, God, and may we own that. May we own that. May we own that. May we know the battle is raging, but Father, victory was sealed at Calvary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Continue to worship. Mark, if you could play. Continue to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Devil, you're going to get your hands off of what belongs to God. The state of California belongs to God. Hallelujah. From the east to the west, to the north to the south, that which is wicked cannot remain. We repent, God, for not making a fuss earlier, but Lord, we're making it now in the name of Jesus. Every home in this place is protected. Every job, every body, every sanity and health is protected as we go forward as one, marching across this land, declaring the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, holy God. God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to repent for not taking part sooner. And I want you to repent for making your life bigger than the life of the Lord and his desires. Whatever is bothering you, lay it down. It's not worth anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
You have been listening to Reverend Sandy Kareen of the Revival Center in Clovis, California. For more information about Reverend Kareen or this ministry, please visit our website at therevivalcenter.info.